Good morning, Bedrock Roanoke. It's so good to be with you again, even though that we are worshiping virtually online. Not too long, I think, that we'll be able to worship in person. But for today, we're just going to continue to dig into Psalm 23 together as a church. From wherever you are in your living rooms, in the kitchen, or maybe even in the car, sitting in a parking lot somewhere watching this. So in the meantime, if you would, go ahead and open your Bible to Psalm 23. We are continuing our series on the Good Shepherd. And as we look at that, let's review just a little bit that the shepherd is indeed good. You know, Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. And he also said, no one comes to the Father except through me. He's the only Good Shepherd. So we learned that the shepherd is good. We also learned that the shepherd provides. The shepherd provides. What does he provide? He provides our life, our everlasting life, our eternal life, through our salvation. And he also provides for us that security that comes with that salvation. Next, we learned that the shepherd restores. The shepherd restores us through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And then last week, Jeremiah shared with us that the shepherd leads. He leads us into righteousness, but that's not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus that comes on us through the power of the blood of the cross. It's his righteousness, and we are led for his name's sake. So let's read together this morning Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we come to you this morning with a heart of worship, with open hearts, open minds, and we ask that you would teach us, that you would lead us, that you would speak to us through the words of your scripture that David wrote so many years ago. Lord, we do love you, and we ask that you would be with us forever, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So just as we've been doing in the past, let's begin by breaking down this passage, almost even word by word. So first of all, we see that it says even. In our translation, it's even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the death. Some of your translations and some of the historical translations may say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, that's not a yay that we would cheer at a basketball game or a hockey game or anything like that. It's just, yes, we are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's what this is all about. And so I want us to understand from this is that not only is it going to happen, but it's not always a bad thing. You know, we did a series not too long ago on peaks and valleys, and the metaphor there is that the valleys are a bad place to be, but that's not always the case. Sometimes as he leads us along those paths we talked about last week, he's actually leading us into the valley. Many, many years ago, when I was in the Air Force and I went through survival school, and we had to make it along this journey as if we were behind enemy lines and we had to make our way back to the friendly side. And it was in the mountains of Colorado where I was going through this school. And those aren't like our Blue Ridge Mountains around here. They're pretty steep, pretty tall. And so we're navigating our way. And in that case, there wasn't even a path. This was tromping through the woods, trying to figure out, looking at a map and a compass. And it's not necessarily easy to get there. So we would get to the top of this ridge, climbing, maybe a half a day to the top of the ridge, and thinking, oh, there's got to be where the checkpoint is. You check your map. And you realize it's a whole nother ridge over. And you look at the valley between where you are and where it's going to be. And you also know that there's bad guys hanging out in that valley. I know this is all kind of a simulation. But you don't want to have to do it over. And if you get caught by the bad guys, you got to start all over. And you have to go through that valley. And there's no other way to get there. And that's kind of what goes on. So that's where we talk about, even though I go through the valley, and you tromp all the way down that mountain and you start all the way over again to get to the next peak where the checkpoint is. And that's what really came to mind. But the other part of that is the next word in that passage says, even though I walk through the valley. It doesn't say we're going to stay there. You see, it's a journey, not a destination. when I go through the valley, when we go through even our hard times, it's still part of the journey. What we're experiencing right now in the world today, it's not our destination. It's a journey. We're going to make our way through this. And that's what this means when it says through. For example, many times we know how powerful God is, right? We know how powerful he is. And nobody doubts the power of God. We sometimes wonder about his wisdom. Take, for example, you might have been diagnosed with cancer. And we pray that cancer will be healed. We know that God is powerful enough to heal that cancer. And we wonder, why isn't he wise enough to heal it for us? But maybe it's because we're going through that journey and there's something for us to learn while we're in that journey in the valley. We know he's powerful, but do we question his wisdom? Because he's also all wise and all knowing. So then we continue and we talk about through the what? Through the valley. The valley is known as the Wadi Kelt, and it still exists today. Now, I've got an image for you to look at of the Wadi Kelt. And this isn't a valley like we have around here in the Blue Ridge Mountains either. That looks kind of like a foreboding, scary type of valley. But this is the one that David is referring to. And even in Jesus' day, this valley was known as the Way of Blood because there was so much bad that happened there. So many people who were murdered, so many people who were harmed in one way or another. Because you see how steep and treacherous this valley is. As a matter of fact, this is the valley that is along the road between Jericho and Jerusalem. And if you remember in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, he was saying that the Good Samaritan was going from Jerusalem to Jericho. He would have had to go through this valley. This is the road that he was on. And this is where the Good Samaritan or the traveler was attacked, where the Good Samaritan found him along the road. Because all of these caves and the nooks and the crannies were known for being filled with predators, with crooks, with criminals. As a matter of fact, it's even the same valley that Jesus traveled through on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem for the triumphal entry on what we call Palm Sunday. See, Jericho is where he ran into Zacchaeus. If you remember the story there, that came out of Luke chapter 19, where Jesus entered into Jericho and Zacchaeus was there in the tree and he called him down and he dined with him. But when he left Jericho, he went through this valley, the Way of Blood, on his way to shed his blood for us. So not only is David familiar with the Valley of Death, but so is Jesus familiar with this Valley of Death. But you see, it's also called the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, which leads us into our next word, the shadow. Look at the picture and you see the shadows there. The sun's brightly shining in this photograph, and yet half the valley's still in shadow. The sun may never shine on that part of the valley. And what is a shadow but darkness? Darkness when the light is blocked out. You know, and we talk about the fact that we may be afraid of the dark. A lot of us have children who might be afraid of the dark. As a matter of fact, even going back to the metaphor that David was using here with sheep, sheep have terrible night vision. They really can't see that well, and they can stumble and fall in this valley of the shadow of death unless they follow the Good Shepherd. But you see, in that darkness, what are we afraid of in the darkness? Are we really afraid of darkness? Or are we afraid of what the darkness may hide? Are we concerned that things aren't going to be well? I mean, really, can you get hurt in the dark? Yes, but does the darkness hurt you? Not exactly. It's the creatures and the things that we can even conjure up in our own imagination that we are afraid of in the dark. It's not the actual physical darkness. So what about the shadow aspect? The shadow, has anybody ever been harmed by the shadow, even the shadow of death? What does a shadow do? I read a story not too long ago from a guy that was talking about this very passage, and he was talking about the fact that he's standing on a train platform, and the train is approaching, and the shadow is coming with it, and the shadow comes, and the shadow passes right over him, and it didn't hurt him at all. However, if the train had been there, if he'd been hit by the train and not by the shadow, that certainly would have brought him to death. So the shadow itself is not anything to be afraid of. And what does that mean to us in this particular context? Well, Jesus speaks to that in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And in John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus says, and he's speaking here to, it's after, he's speaking to Martha and Mary after Lazarus was raised from the dead. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he said to her, do you believe this? And you know, the same question is true for us today. And the question that I would ask you is, do you believe this? That anyone who believes in Jesus shall never die. Our bodies may fall away, but our souls will live forever somewhere. And is it with Jesus in eternity? Or is it in a hell of damnation? That's a decision that we need to wrestle with. So as our passage today goes on along in verse 4, and he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Well, what kind of evil are we talking about here? Well, we can talk about the evil of the world and the wickedness of the world, but the word can also be translated in the original language to reference distress or misery or injury, calamity, trouble. Any of those things that cause us to be fearful, those are the evil that we're talking about. And I want to share with you this. Gosh, it's been probably 10 years ago now. I've never had a lot of fear in my life. As a matter of fact, growing up, I used to do all kinds of things that probably should have caused me a lot greater injury. And then ultimately, in my early adult years, I was actually flying fighters. Now, you know, there's some people who fly fighters, and then there's others who are fighter pilots. And if you know what I mean, it's the same as there are people that ride bicycles, and then there are cyclists. So there's that level of competence, confidence, and some would even say arrogance and ego that goes with that. And I was a little bit more of the fighter pilot than just the guy who flew fighters. And I say that, yeah, well, I guess with a little ego, with a little arrogance, and those that knew me 40 years ago would probably say that that was accurate. But then all of a sudden, about 10 years ago, who thought I was always bulletproof and was above all these kind of things, began to have a series of panic attacks that would come out of nowhere. And it was scary because you can't outrun yourself. You know, there's some kinds of danger, some kinds of evil, calamity, fear that you can outrun. But when it's in your head, you can't outrun that. And it was a scary time for me because I never knew when they were coming. I never knew why they were coming. I didn't know how to deal with it. I wanted to outrun it. If it happened in a building, I'd go outside and find out it was out there as well. And it was a terrible, terrible time for me. And it scared me. And quite honestly, I never doubted the existence of God, but I doubted his presence. I doubted that he cared. And I found it very difficult to pray because I didn't think he was hearing me. But you see, that was all part of that evil that I found myself fearful of because I wasn't living Psalm 23. I was living in my own fear. But one writer wrote this the other day, and he says, dark valleys and the presence of danger do not illustrate God's absence, but they do illuminate the need for his presence. Think about that. Dark valleys, where I was with my panic and where you may be today with things that are going on, and the presence of danger, whether real or imagined, do not illustrate God's absence. And that's what I was dealing with. I was saying that this is telling me that God's not there. That's not true. They illuminate our need for his presence. And what a time to lean on the Good Shepherd. What a time to lean on the Good Shepherd. You see, he's there. And this is where David continues, even in this one little verse. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. For you are with me. You see, the shepherd is present. But before we even go down that path of knowing that the shepherd's present, all of a sudden David has stopped talking about the shepherd. You see, all of this poetry that we've read about in these first three verses is all about he is, he is, he is. And now David makes this very personal. And he speaks to the good shepherd and he says, you are with me. You see, that's an acknowledgement I couldn't make in that time and in that space that I was in. And maybe that's where you are today. And it doesn't mean that your faith is weak. It doesn't mean any of those things. It means that we need to rely on what God has already promised us in His Word, that He is present. And that's the big point we want to bring out today, is the shepherd is present. That's exciting. How exciting is that? No matter what our journey is taking us through, whether we're dealing with the cancer that we spoke of, whether we're dealing with a dark valley, whether we're scared of our own shadow, the shepherd is present. How do we know that? Because David already told us that. But there's other ways. We pray. We can feel His presence. But we also have the promises that come from the Word of God. Listen to what Moses shared with Joshua. Way back as Joshua is getting ready to lead into the promised land in the book of Deuteronomy, we read this in Deuteronomy 31. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it." And then he says this, "It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." You see, that's a promise that God puts before us today, just as He did for Joshua. How incredible that is. And Paul speaks of the same thing in the book of Romans. And listen to this. This is huge. In the book of Romans, he shares these words. And Paul writes, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Can you think of anything that's not covered by these two verses? What is there out there that could possibly be able to separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? So the final question that I'd have to ask you this morning is, who's your shepherd? We've talked about the fact that there's only one good shepherd, and it's Jesus Christ. But we're all listening to some shepherd. Are we listening to Him? Are we listening to the media? Are we listening to things that scare us? Are we listening to our own psyche that sometimes can get the better of us? Jesus is the good shepherd, and as I mentioned at the very beginning, He says, "No one can come to the Father except through Me." Does that speak to you? Have you made that decision? Is the Lord tugging on your heart today and saying, "I want to be your shepherd"? Today is the day of salvation, the Bible tells us. So I'd ask you, if you've never made that decision, if you've never received the free gift of salvation that comes from Jesus Christ, would you do that today? Would you confess to Him that you know that you're a sinner, just like the Bible says that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God? But it also says in Romans that even while we were still sinners, He died for us. We don't have to get cleaned up to come to Jesus. You can make that happen today simply by acknowledging that we need Him, that we're sinners, that we ask Him to forgive us, and that we give our lives to Him. If you want to make that decision today, please, please, please let us know. There's a link either above or below this video, depending on which forum you're watching it on. Let us know so we can walk that journey with you. I want to pray with all of us right now as we turn our eyes to the Good Shepherd. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge today that You are the Good Shepherd. We know that You are the only one and the only way. That You tell us that You are the way and the truth and the life. And that You want us to have life and have it more abundantly, that our eternity begins not only after we die, but today that we can be with You. So I pray, Father, for all of those out there that might be hearing this today, that have never made that decision, that You would pull them to You, that You would bring them into the fold of the sheep that the Good Shepherd looks over. And we do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bedrock Church, don't forget that we are praying for you. We're challenging you to call three people just to check on them, to share your personal testimony with someone around you, and to serve small. And as we said earlier, it's not going to be long till we can actually be back together in person to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But for today, Bedrock Church, you are sent to be the love of Jesus and the light on the hill.